I almost can hear some fans going. I don't know if that's the heater or the air conditioner. I certainly hope it's not the heater. I might just be taking this jacket off here in a second. It feels a little warm. You'd be amazed what the temperature difference is from here down to there. You know, I work at a nursing home and go into their rooms and they always say they're cold. And I'm 6 feet taller than they are, and they're sitting on their bed, and they're not moving. So I say, well, it feels fine in here to me, but they're not moving, and they're way down there on the recliner. So, you know, it's a little bit different. We're going to be in Psalm 144. Psalm 144. We're going to look at the last verse. We'll look at the entire chapter and take some thoughts from that. I'm hearing a little bit of echo here. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not, but it doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother me, but I'm just pointing that out. Verse number 15 says, happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I'd like to speak tonight to tonight on happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You'll notice there as he pins the word Lord, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, speaking about Lord God Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. And so David writes this psalm and he ends up his thoughts there with, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. I'd like to say to you tonight that I'm happy that the Lord is my God. I wouldn't want to serve any other God. Amen. I wouldn't want to be without the Lord. Boy, life would be just completely meaningless and pointless, really, if you didn't have God there. Amen. David says, happy is those people whose God is the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can be here this evening, Lord. We're thankful, dear God, for all that you've done for us. Lord, you've blessed us so greatly. You've given us so much. Lord, you've given us health and life and strength. You've given us people here, friends and family, people who sing, people who just encourage one another. Lord, we're thankful for that. Thankful, dear God, for bringing us together here again this evening. Thank you for providing our needs throughout this week, Lord. We forget about it many times. We forget that you provide all the things that we have, Lord. We attribute everything to you, God. Thank you so much for it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd lead us and guide us and direct us this evening and strengthen us by your word, and we'll be ever grateful for it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon the psaltery and instrument of 10 strings, and I will sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak of vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That their daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know, if you have the Lord for your God, you're in for a blessing from the Lord. J.R.R. Tolkien once said, if more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. Well, food and cheer and song are all great things, and that brings happiness to us as Christians, but there's something that's better than food and cheer and song, and that is the Lord. Because if you and I have the Lord, it brings food and cheer and song. We don't want to cut the Lord short in His blessings that He's given to us. Do you find your happiness in the Lord? Do you find your happiness in what the Lord has done for you and all the blessings that He has given to you? A lot of people want to find their happiness in temporal things of this earth. They think, if they can just get the right job, if they can just have the right career, they can just do these things, boy, then I will find that happiness. If I can establish that strong legacy, if I can have all the money, if I can have all the prestige, then I'm going to find that happiness. But it's like you're chasing your tail. Because once you get to that place that you thought was going to bring happiness, it doesn't bring happiness. There's a higher plane that you have to chase. There's something higher that you have to go after. Some people think, well, if I can just be the smartest guy in the room, I can just amass enough knowledge to where I can be smarter than everyone else, then I will just be happy, but you won't be happy. Just not going to bring it. True happiness is not found in self-fulfillment and riches and fame. It's not found in doing whatever you desire. True happiness is found in the Lord. True happiness, ladies and gentlemen, is found in serving the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your life, because years not spent serving the Lord are wasted years. One of these days you're going to look back on your life and say, why did I waste those years not serving God? I could have served the Lord. I could have done something meaningful with my life that would affect eternity. Happiness is found in God. So many people, especially in our society today, boy, they're looking and they're searching for some kind of happiness, but it's not there. It's not there. Here's David writing this psalm, and it's supposed to be, I believe it's about when God installed David as king of Israel. Boy, he's fixing to face some enemies. He's fixing to face some trials. He is now the great governor over all the land of Israel. He's got all these people underneath him. And he says, boy, happy is that people. He looks maybe at Israel, and of course it is. It's his extended family, because it's a nation, and he's a Jew. And he's looking out, and he's saying, man, happy is this people whose God is the Lord. Boy, everything is great whenever the Lord is in charge and when the Lord is working. David's going to be facing some new challenges here, and he says, blessed be the Lord my strength. Blessed be the Lord. Did you know a great God makes a happy people? And tonight, you become what you worship. If you worship yourself, you're going to become that thing. You're going to become what you worship, if I'm making any sense here. That's why we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we will be like him one of these days. And David looks and he says, blessed be the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. I think I've alluded to this before. When someone bows down before a statue and they're worshiping something that's dead, you become that thing. You become that idol. But if you can say, blessed be the Lord with David, you are on your way to happiness. I want to look at three reasons why the blessed God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob produces a happy people. Number one, God strengthens you. God strengthens you. We see that in verses 1 and 2. David says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. So David is entering into this new phase of life, and he acknowledges God and he blesses God for his strength and his wisdom. And there's a couple of ways here that God is going to strengthen David. Number one, he's going to strengthen him with physical strength. He says that he is my strength and he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Now there's David there, and if you remember, well, David used to use his fingers to play the harp. He would soothe King Saul with his beautiful music that he would play with the harp, and so David was a musician. And God had allowed David to have that musical talent there. And you know, he used his fingers as well to have a slingshot in his hand. He went against Goliath. God enabled David to go against Goliath and kill the giant with a smooth stone. God had enabled him to do all that, and he had given him the gift of playing music and taught his fingers in that capacity, but now God has taught his fingers in a different capacity. God had brought David from being a shepherd in Israel now to being a great warrior against the Philistines and against all the enemies of Israel. And so God was the strength of David in his music abilities, but also in fighting his battles. God had brought him to maturity, and God was his strength behind his musical talent and as a king and as a warrior. There is God strengthening David in those capacities. But he was also strengthening him in an inner way, spiritual way. Because he goes on to say, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust. God was David's spiritual strength. He says, God, you are my goodness. He says, you are my fortress. Now, David can't crawl into God and literally be inside of God, and God is his fortress. No, God is his spiritual fortress. God is his spiritual high tower. God is his deliverer. God is his shield. These are all inner qualities that God had given to David because David trusted God in these things. And so God had strengthened David in this way. He says, David has righteousness and he has goodness and he is a good man, but he doesn't say, yeah, look at me. Look at all the good things that I have done. Look how good I am. No, he says, it's because of the Lord. The Lord is my goodness. The Lord is my righteousness. He gave all the credit to God. God was his goodness. God was his inner strength. And David could hide behind God as his fortress because he knew how strong and how powerful that God was. And so David is relying upon God for his spiritual strength. Every one of us, we're going to have battles in this life. You're going to come up against an enemy. You're going to come up against the devil. And the Bible says that we have spiritual weapons at our disposal, and God is the one who helps us to use those things to fight against the enemy. He helps us. Is the Lord your strength today? If you and I expect to experience happiness and true joy, it's not going to come by looking to yourself. Going to come by looking to the Lord. If you and I want to fulfill our calling in life, we must trust in the Lord and look to Him for strength. God calls us to do all kinds of things for the Lord. And He's going to strengthen us. He's going to help us. Every one of us here this evening are good at something. Every one of us has got a talent that we have. I don't know what it is here tonight. Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you are a musician. Maybe you can write. I don't know what it is. Perhaps you want to be a doctor. Maybe you want to be a lawyer. Maybe you want to maybe just be a simple maintenance man like myself. Maybe you're a truck driver. Maybe you work at some kind of company or something like that, but maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a dad, maybe you are a son or a daughter, something like that. Whatever vocation that you find yourself in, always give God the glory for the strength that you have. Because you didn't get that on your own. So many times, though, we go through our lives and we think, man, I did all this. We're taking all the credit. Yes, it's me. Yes, I did it. But no, it's God that is enabling you to do that. Attribute your strength to God. God gives us physical strength for the tasks of life, and He also gives us spiritual strength. Do you attribute your goodness to the Lord, your righteousness to the Lord? If you are a child of God here this evening, the Lord is your goodness. He is your righteousness. Just listen to the words of David from the old, from Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter number 4. And what David said, Paul says, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Man, that's a blessing for a New Testament Christian. I know how bad I am. I know how sinful I am. And Paul is sitting here telling us, he's writing to us, and he's saying, look, God is not going to impute your sin to you, but He is going to give you some righteousness. He's going to give you the righteousness of God. Amen. Man, what a blessing. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I wouldn't want to serve another God. God is your deliverer and redeemer and fortress and protection. But if you decide that your worth is based upon your performance, based upon how great your life is or what you've done, you're setting yourself up for some big disappointments. And so am I. Boy, but you look and you say, look, God, You did this. You gave it to me. Man, all honor and glory to You. Happy is that people. Happy is that people. Next, David finds his happiness in the fact that God knows him. That God cares about him. That he is involved in the affairs of David's life, and he is like bowled over, shocked. He can't believe it. He says in verse number 3 and 4, he says, Lord, what is man that Thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that Thou makest account of him? Man is like unto vanity, and his days are like a shadow that passeth away. David has been speaking here about how God has been so good to him and how He is his fortress and how He is his deliverer and how He teaches his fingers to war. And as he ponders on those thoughts, he says, why do You even pay attention to us? Why are You even messing with us humans down here on this earth? He says, You take knowledge of us? I'm amazed, Lord, that You would condescend to man and take knowledge of us and be worried about us. Do you realize and recognize in light of how big and how vast the universe is, how small that one human being is compared to the vastness of the universe? And we have a God who cares, and we have a God who takes knowledge of us. Hey, what's going on in so-and-so's life down there? I want to find out about that. I want to know. It's an unexpected delight for David. Well, the great God of the universe cares about what's going on in my life. He's going to help me to govern this great people. Wow. David again speaks the same way, but in the context of God is the great creator and architect of the universe in Psalm chapter number 8. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? He says, you've made us a little lower than the angels, and yet you crowned us with glory and honor. You do these things for us. You made us to have dominion over the works of thy hands. You actually put us in charge of some things. Wow. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So David finds happiness and he finds comfort in the fact that God knows who he is and that God would actually condescend down to where he is. Amen. Did you know that you and I, God always goes to where you're at? Yes, he always does. You didn't find him, he found you. Because you were running away and I was running away. You didn't want God. You wanted your sin and I wanted my sin, and then God found us and he redeemed us. Amen. And David is astounded that the Almighty God who inhabits eternity would actually take knowledge of mankind. Why? Because man is temporary. Man is fleeting. Man is vanity, he says in the verses right here. It's like his days are like a shadow that passes away. You ever thought about a shadow? How long does a shadow last? Walk around on the earth for a while. It'll be good for about a day. Then after the night comes, the shadow fades off into the darkness, and it's not there anymore. That's the way our lives are. Our lives are like a shadow. Yeah, we can see it for a while. We cast a shadow, but then the night comes, and we're not there anymore. And God is going to take note of us. As fleeting as our life is, do you know the happiest day of your life should have been the day that you found out that God knows you? That should have been the happiest day of your life. Why? Because now that God knows you, you know what? Your shadow is never going to fade away. You're going into the land of eternity. You know what's going to happen over there? The Son of Righteousness is going to shine on you forever. And there's going to be no night there. And Jesus Christ is the light. The Lord is the light of that place. You will have eternal life. You're never going to die. You're united with Jesus Christ. You are reunited with eternal life. Amen. And you're never going to die. Right. You have a hope, Christian. Yes. You have a hope. Nobody else has that hope. And it's given to you free and clear. Amen. You didn't have to work for it. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And God's concern for his people is always intimately connected with his redeeming love. But on the other side, the saddest day of a person's existence is when they hear these words, "Depart from me that work iniquity, for I never knew you." Many will say unto me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And God is going to say, "I never knew you. I don't know you." It's not that God is ignorant. God knows who everyone is. But he had no intimate knowledge of you. He never knew you as a friend. He never knew you as a family member. He never knew you. You never talked to him. You never had a relationship with him. You were never mine. And then you're going to go, and there's no hope after that. There's nothing after that. There is only eternity. There is not even human death after that. He's going to say, "I didn't know you in eternity. I didn't know you in time. I didn't know you in the present. I don't know you in the future. I never knew you." They will pass over into eternal death. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the sad day of those who would never know the Lord. And he said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open unto us,' and he will say unto you, 'I know you not whence you are.' Then shall you begin to say, 'We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets.' But he shall say, 'I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourself thrust out. There's no happiness in that day. There's only continual sorrow, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, they had plenty of temporal pleasure here upon this earth. Yeah, they got to fulfill all of their fleshly desires that they wanted to. Yeah, they got to thumb their nose at God while they were here upon this earth. And they laughed for a while and they had a few jokes for a while, but they won't have any more after that. There will be no more. It'll be the saddest day of someone's existence when that happiness. Did you know that true happiness is found in knowing that you are reconciled with your Creator and knowing that He knows you? What a tragedy beyond comprehension to never have known your Creator. But there's David and he says, I know you and you know me and you take account of us. And when God knows us and we know that God knows us, you know what happens? Boy, that stirs us up on the inside. That gives us happiness and joy on the inside, boy, and it stirs us up, and it stirs us up to sing a song. He says in verse number 9, he says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Boy, a happy heart is a singing heart. A happy Christian is a singing Christian. Well, that's what's unique about Christianity. We are a religion of singers. We sing. And David's experiencing new victories, and he's experiencing new mercies and new graces from the Lord. And boy, he can't help but sing the praises of God. He says, boy, you know what this requires? This requires a new song. I'm going to write a new song to God because God has been so gracious. You ever looked at the Psalms before? There's 150 Psalms, and they were all born out of new experiences and new graces from the Lord God Jehovah. People of God could not be silent. They had to keep on writing songs because God's just been so good. I'm going to keep on going. Boy, some new stories to write about. Every psalm has a story behind it about God's grace and God's goodness. David has said this before in Psalm chapter number 40. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Boy, a new one. He says, boy, I got to write a new one because the Lord's been so good. Waiting patiently for the Lord. Boy, the new mercies and new graces that are given to God's people are occasions for new songs about God and about His deliverance. Boy, we got a song in our hearts. Why? Because we got a great God. Because we got a good God. And the people of God have always been people who sing. I was looking at the songbooks today. We have the All-American Church Hymnal. It's got 408 songs. We got the other hymnal that we sing out of, Soul-Stirring Songs and Hymns, got 479 songs in it. That's 887 total songs, 2 songbooks, and 1 church. Did you know that every one of those songs were new songs at one time? 100, 150 years ago, maybe less than that. Because the hearts of the people of God were so touched and so stirred because God had done so much for them and said, man, we've got to write a song about this. All of them are about our Lord Jesus Christ. We think about the song Amazing Grace written by John Newton. Boy, he was a former slave owner and heavily into the slave trade. A former fornicator. A former drunkard. A former God-hater running away from God. And God saved him and he took him out of the slave trade. Amen. He was once enslaved in sins and he was enslaving others. And then God saved him and got him out of the slave trade. And he became not only a preacher but an advocate for abolishing slavery. I'd like to take a little side note here and say that the Bible does not condone the slave trade. The master-servant relationship in the Bible was indentured slaves and servants. It's very different from the slave trade that America was involved in, and the Bible condemns that kind of stuff. It's not the same thing that was going on in America. Some of our founding fathers, yes, they used the Bible to justify slavery, but they were wrong. The Bible condemns men stealers and going over to different countries and stealing someone's men. It's not the same thing. It was indentured slaves. And if you have a mortgage tonight, you're indebted to the mortgage company for 30 years. You're a slave. Borrower is slave to the lender. That's what was going on in the Bible. But there are still songs being written today. Now, I wouldn't trust every song that's coming out today, but there are still some good songs coming out today. Why? Because God's people are still a happy people, and they're still writing songs about the Lord. Amen. And there's still going to be some songs in the future, because God's people are always going to have a song in their heart. Why? Because they are happy. They're happy. Amen. I don't believe that the Muslim religion has a songbook that I know of. Yeah. I don't think the Buddhists have a songbook that I know of. Yeah. I don't think the Hindus do either. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think they do. I mean, you read the Quran, there's no love in there. There's not the word love does not even appear in there. God's people have something to sing about. Amen. We've got a songbook. God's people are happy because they are singing. Singing is a commandment from the Lord. He says, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. You know what that means? We had it today. We had a whole group up here singing to yourselves. You are ministering to us with your songs. Boy, bless our hearts today to hear some singing. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Boy, we sing to each other and we sing in our hearts. We got a song in our hearts. Why? Because we are thankful for what God has done for us. Boy, we are redeemed. We're redeemed and saved by the blood of the Lamb. Singing is a response to God for His deliverance and His mercy. Singing communicates what God has done for us. Singing is a way to be able to witness to other people. Singing communicates the gospel to others. Communicates the truth to others. It's a way to minister. Psalm 105 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works." We sing because we are happy in the Lord. We are thankful in the Lord. So can we find happiness in this life, in a world of enemies and disappointments and sorrows and setbacks? Yes, we can if God is our Lord. If He's our Lord. If our God is the God of the Scriptures, can our children grow up and find happiness in their lives? Yeah, they can. Their God is the Lord. They're going to find a place to flourish where God has put them. I believe they can if their God is the God of the Scriptures. Their God is the God of the Scriptures, the true God. If He is their strength, if He knows them intimately, well, we ought to set an example for them. They need a place to flourish. There's nothing more powerful than a parent's testimony to children. A godly testimony. And one of these days, our children will be singing new songs to the Lord. But if God is the Lord and He's your God, that means that you must submit to Him. You have to submit to Him. Because if you don't submit to Him, He's not your Lord. You must submit to Him. God is a good God. We thank God for all that He's given to us. Let us submit to God in everything. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. We'll not have an invitation tonight, but we will sing a song tonight after we pray.